Happy Wednesday to all of you out there. I am very excited about the guest I have in studio today. I have Zen, and please pronounce your last name for me.
Cryer DeBrooke.
Cryer DeBrooke, and she has just something that is very near and dear to my heart. Again, I am Lindy Lewis, and I'm bringing you Let Your Color Out Life. And I like to talk to people who pursue passion and purpose and usually to turn some sort of adversity into a milestone or sort of that misery into some sort of a calling or where you actually help people in the world. So that's why I invited Zen, because she is not only a best-selling author, but she also has an entire academy of soul food for all of us people out there who are just needing to kind of sister each other up in this crazy world. So welcome, Zen. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Lindy, I am so happy to be here. It's my hometown. I live here. I'm so excited to be able to, you know, talk to you and share what's happened to me and where I've come from. And I just love this town beyond. So you're making my day, girl.
You're back. Okay. Yeah. Tell us a tiny bit. So you started out in the .com business, started out in that Silicon Valley. So you've been in this work quite a while, the soul seeking piece, but you started in the Silicon Valley and then everything broke.
Yeah.
Up.
Well,
tell us a bit about that.
I want to go back a little bit farther, because it's kind of, it's an adversity story.
This is just a great conversation.
Yeah. So I was raised in California, and my background is pretty abusive. I had a lot of verbal abuse and physical abuse and, non-family sexual abuse. And it was really a difficult life. My mom was a rageaholic. I was taken away and put into foster care, and I'm just putting this out there because where I've come from, it makes a huge difference in how I landed here, because it's a miracle. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Seriously. And so as we were going through my life, my dad, I had this big pivotal moment where my dad divorced my mom and married her best friend from church.
And you were old, how old?
13. Right. That's a perfect time to be bringing a new woman into the house, right?
Right.
Especially one that you feel betrayed by and all of that.
It's a very vulnerable stage for kids.
It is.
13.
It is.
Tender time.
Everything got even worse from there as far as just like feeling isolated and so forth. And then we had another huge tragedy, which is my brother was hit by a car and put in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
So we had about a year and a half of the family managing him in rehabilitation and
permanently.
Yeah. He's permanently
back.
And, yep. Lower back. Luckily it was low. And there was about a year and a half of going to LA. It was about an hour drive, and I quickly just got forgotten, which was kind of nice actually in a lot of ways, but it was a horrible time to have to be there with your brother.
Yeah,
and I were so close, but at least I didn't feel like people were picking on me anymore.
Right.
You know? And I got pretty comfortable with being alone during that year. So I decided to sue my parents for emancipation and go out on my own. And so I did, and I won.
You did?
I did.
At 15, 14?
I had just turned 17.
Okay.
Right after my 17th birthday, right before.
You don't hear that every day.
No.
You chose to sue them? You have to sue them to do it.
It's a suing. Yeah.
Because to get your own independence.
I have to take them to court, and I have to prove
that you're capable.
Uh-huh.
I got
all kinds of references and all of that. And then I realized that I couldn't go to school and support myself. So I ended up dropping out of high school. And
I did read that. I thought, well, this is always fun. I think these are great empowerment stories for people whose lives have been off the rail. It's sometimes we don't like to live in the adversity that we've had in our past, but it's a great piece to remind people what we can accomplish when we just put our mind to it.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that if I got out on my own and I stopped participating in all my family drama, because there was a lot, that I would be fine, that everything would be good, that they were my problem.
Grass is always greener. That is the plight of life, isn't it?
Yeah, 17, thought I knew it all. And what I found was I just took all that drama with me, and I was that drama. Because between the ages of 0 and 7 is when we get all the programming, and I watched all the drama, and I just went and started creating that drama in my own life. And I could see it. I was wise enough to be able to see it, but I couldn't stop it. So I would do things like quit a job as a dishwasher at a restaurant and expect them to come chase me down the street running after me. No, don't go. We can't live without you. Nobody ever did that. Yeah. You know, and
but just to your point, I think it's really true. I mean, we do learn what we live.
Yes.
I mean, you learn that behavior early on, and it is hard to unprogram the self. And I think both of our missions are in alignment with sort of unconditioning our conditioning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so what ended up happening was I kept sabotaging myself. You know, I'd get in a fight with a roommate, and then my thing was to run. And so I'd say, I'm moving out. And they'd say, fine. And then I'd come back the next day, and they really meant it. And I was out, mm-hmm. you know. And
I love that you're being so transparent. I mean, I'm a runner too, and it's hard to own that shadow.
It is. And it was so painful, you yeah. know. And then you have the victim and feeling betrayed mm-hmm. and misunderstood.
Nobody loves me. Mm-hmm. I'm not enough. La, la, la.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So I was living out of my car, a 1976 Honda Civic.
Yeah.
We called it the Hoda because the N had fallen off.
So you're 17, 18 now living out
18.
Of your car? Okay.
Yeah. And sleeping on people's couches and trying to figure out my life. And a friend of mine gave me a cassette tape. I'm dating myself totally.
That's okay.
And from Abraham Hicks. Are you familiar with Esther
Hicks?
Yes,
I am. Yes.
Law of Attraction.
Yes.
And yeah. And she was trying to bring me into the consciousness that, the awareness that I was creating all my own problems by how I was being.
It's so hard to hear that when you're in it. You're like, yeah, thank you, but no thank you.
That's right.
But it's very powerful work.
And it's true.
It is
I mean,
true.
I found it to be true.
It is true. And in my life too.
Yeah. And all of us. It's how the world works. It's one of the principles of the way the world works. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to the tape over and over, but there was one part that really got me, Lindy. And that was, she said, one of the people asked, because at that time it was just questions, on a cassette tape in a living room, asked, what do we have to do to have our best life? And she said that when we feel a tightness in the center of our body, that our thoughts were taking us away from our joy and our happiness and success. And when our body is relaxed or even open, our thoughts are carrying us towards happiness, joy, and success. And that all we had to do was stay in this state of allowing, mm-hmm. right? And everything works out. Okay. Well, it's one thing for her to just say that. And she's embodying, you know, soul
right.
family and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to actually live that. It's not as easy. That sounds so easy, but it's not.
No, it is not easy. And for those of you listening, again, this is North Idaho Radio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back, and we'll pick right up on that. But it is probably one of the most challenging things you can do, to really just allow and to trust. And it's remarkable. But anyway, those of you listening to North Idaho Radio, thank you very much for joining us. We will be right back with Let Your Color Out Life with Lindy. Thank you. Hi, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much. I'm sitting here with Zen.
Cryer DeBrook.
I'll get it by the end of this show. That's always my goal. I try, and it's quite an interesting spelling. Please carry on. You're telling us a little bit. So just those of you just joining our show, we talked a little bit with about her adversity and some of her just really, really rough start to life, and how she still was sort of that bulldog and going to just figure it out on her own and didn't have a lot of trust. And I think that's when you introduced maybe Esther Hicks and let us know how she was pivotal in your starting to really create your own life.
Yeah. So I got this cassette tape from her, and I found, you know, she said we have an internal guidance system, and it expands and contracts based on what we're thinking. And what I found was, I must have listened to that tape 150 times. Again in my little car, you know.
Oh my god!
Do you remember
yes.
that sound?
She was like my best friend for a while. I kind of lost track of all my real people. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna go. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I relate.
Good old mixtape.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. And I started to figure it out for myself, because here's what happened. I knew that every time I sabotaged, every time I blew it, every time I got kicked out of a roommate's place or job, or how I ended up living in my car, was because right before I blew it, I felt this intense tightness in my body, and I just couldn't stop myself from running and pulling my stuff. And so it wasn't easy. I called them to find out how, if they have trainings, and they were like, no, we're just talking to people in our living room and recording it and sending these tapes out. I mean, it was so basic.
Such a gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, true gift.
Yeah.
Like, I have no They had no attachment to how it hit the world.
That's right.
And it took it by storm.
It did. And it's amazing. I went to the library. The librarian was like, it sounds like anxiety. I don't know, kid.
What year are we talking?
We're talking like 92. Right.
So this is before actually people really started to dive into their own personal stuff.
It's right when it was happening. My mom had actually sent me a book, Adult Children of Alcoholics. And she's like, I broke you. And I think that was the first personal development book she'd ever had, or me. So it's like right during that
time. Well, it wasn't the period. Our parents didn't have those resources. I mean, they were post-depression and they had to just man up.
That's right.
And there was no opportunity to be soft.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So I started figuring it out. And it wasn't as easy as you would think, because your mind makes you, you think that what you're thinking is real. Mm-hmm. And it actually, what I found is that it's all very much programming. And so I began to find these openings little by little. And within a period of 6 years, I went from, I got my high school diploma, not my GED. I was in community college taking massive amounts of units. I started working. I then got into UC Davis and got my degree in global politics and Mandarin Chinese. I started my import-export company in college. And then when I got out of college, I had a friend that was my brother's dear friend, and he told me about websites. This was like 96. He was telling me all about websites. And I'm like, what is this? He's showing me this screen, and there's this
code.
Uh-huh. And he's like, it's going to take the world by storm. This is the next big thing.
World Wide Web.
Exactly. And I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see it. There's my vision.
Yeah.
I don't see it. He says, well, if somebody in your business wants a website or ever asks you, tell me, because I want to build websites. That's what I want to do for a living. And I said, all right. Lo and behold, 2 days later, one of my clients from my import and export company over in China wanted a website. And so I said, actually, I do know someone.
Well, there you go.
Here we go. Yeah. So I connected the two of them. Turns out that he mismanaged the whole thing. He was great at building websites, horrible with people. Jolt, Punk in the Street Incorporated, Jolt Cola drinking all up all night, no communication skills.
Right, right, right. You know? Well, yeah, everybody's got their gift.
Exactly. You know? And so I had to manage it to save face with the person that I had connected.
But
so
he got the website built.
He did. And I started a project management process. And then more people started asking because he sent people. And then I had a bunch of contractors working under me. And it just started to evolve.
This was your time in Silicon Valley.
Yes.
Okay.
This is San Francisco. I ended up in downtown San Francisco with a 45-person team and company, 500 Fortune 500 companies. We had an office in London, an office a block and a half from the Transamerica building. In 3 years, we went from zero to 6 million and had 12 million under contract for the following year when the dot-com bust happened.
Okay. Wow.
And here we were in San Francisco. I had taken out 1.2 million in personally secured debt. It was co-signed with a couple of my other founders of the company, and all the contracts just rolled back. And I mean, we had Bank of America, we had Wells Fargo, but all the companies they're frightened because they didn't know what was going to happen. So we just kept being put on hold and put on hold until finally we had to lay people off. And it was really dire. And I had used this internal guidance system.
Stress for you too.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
Horrific,
and
yeah.
I had used this internal guidance system to go from opening to opening to opening. And I'll talk more about what that is. But what happened, all that happened in such a short period of time. I like to say we're only a few opening thoughts away from being back on our life's blueprint where we're supposed to be, from being in success and in happiness. And so
she sped through that, but I'm going to just take a minute with it because that's actually really powerful for those of you who are listening out there. We're only a few thoughts away from basically changing our reality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's
fast. Simplicity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To simplify it. Okay. Sorry. That's a really important.
It.
Yeah. And feeling the body, that's something that Zen is going back to a few times. And again, I echo that and I believe it. And I've certainly learned that the stress that in the body, you have got to get it moved. And that's my life with the MS in the body, is I've had to get, you know, make sure that I move the stress. And when you feel that tightening, you have to, you know, continue to move it. So please carry on. So
yeah. So I was laying in bed one night, and the thought is really opening. It's when you feel an expanded feeling in your body. And I had gotten to a place where I was so stressed out and having such heartache over, I mean, these are friends of mine that I was laying off, really, and seeing them go downhill in their lives because
of your whole personal
responsibility.
I mean, there's value still so much tied up in that, in ego. And I mean, you were an overachiever, clearly, and yeah, a little bit, just a little bit. I you spot it, you got it, I always say, and I clearly am that.
Yes. So, right, I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, so then you're just laying there, laying people off and going like, now what?
I was in bed and I suddenly remembered I had an internal guidance system. I had a guidance system that could get me out of it. And I thought, I was totally closed. I was totally tight down because all the thoughts I was having were not true. And I was trying to find an opening thought. And the one that opened me was, I am getting my experiential MBA. And that's a rare thing to be able to get, actually. You can go to school and get an MBA, but actually getting something with nuts and bolts of fixing a business when it's in a downturn.
I call that the school of hard knocks.
That's right.
It's brutal.
It is. And I woke up, but I woke up the next day excited. It opened me. My whole body was like, I was being breathed. It was like, whew, I just felt the experience of that. And all my thoughts changed to, what if we can get through this? And I opened again. I felt this rush of energy again, this opening. And I got up the next day and I went to work and I figured it out and we got through that. And wow. I was happy. And
you were able to breathe life back into the company?
Yeah, actually? It's still in business.
Wow.
Yeah, it's still there. It's wonderful. And they still have BP and a couple other old clients now, 30 years later. It's amazing. Less than that, 23 years later or something. But what happened was my friends said to me, because they were all like, they had lost their apartments. I mean, they were all unemployed. It was so brutal in San Francisco when that pop happened. They said, either tell us the doctors that are giving you these drugs that are making you okay, or tell us what you're doing, because we are practically suicidal and you are on top of the world, mm-hmm. and you just changed, mm-hmm. and your company's making it. And, you know, and I was doing everything I could and using my openings to get through it. And I said, well, I got this little thing I've kind of decoded and figured out. It's called the internal guidance system. And I call it IGS for short. And I follow it in my life. And that's how I've made everything that I am since I was 19. And
that's the internal guidance system.
Yep.
We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, this is a great time for her, because we're getting, it sounds like, right into your book and the start of your whole next company. So thank you for listening to North Idaho Radio. We'll be right back. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm having just a wonderful conversation with Zen, and I love her name, and she has just spent, you know, the first half of our show, if you can believe it, talking about the crazy life, the diversity, the rise, the fall, the attachment to all of this success, but then this, you know, this crisis, and she was able to sort of manage to navigate it. And we're moving right into her. She did write a book called The Internal Guidance System.
It's called Your Inner GPS.
Your Inner GPS.
Like
thank you.
GPS in a car. We each have one inside of our bodies.
And tell us a little bit about your book. You were right as to how it manifested. So you started to talk about this. So this is a great time for you to expand on that.
Thank you. So I started working with people and I got these practices together. It was one thing for me to know it inside my own body and use it. It was another thing when I started working with other people's minds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a lot of pressure, isn't it?
It was. And I really realized how dumb I was, because there were so many things I didn't know about. I wasn't a trainer. I wasn't a teacher. I wasn't a life coach. I wasn't anything.
Yeah, right.
I was a CEO, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I just, in working with people in my living room, I figured out how to teach this. And because it's not easy, you're really looking at people's minds and helping them see things that they can't see. So let me give you an example. What color is a yield sign?
I'm going to say gold.
Gold or yellow and black, right?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, black. Yeah. More of the, but I'm thinking that color is more of like a chartreuse gold.
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
I
yeah.
You.
It's kind of
so,
a color on your shirt there.
No, yeah, exactly.
Our listeners can't see that. So yeah.
It is red and white. It has, I know it's crazy.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it is.
So let me tell you about this. Okay. This is why it's important.
Okay.
I know you should see her face right now. She's in shock.
Yeah.
And probably you listeners are too.
I should just quit.
No. So what it is, no, this is so important.
Yes.
When I found this example, it was
it
crucial.
It is red and white.
It is. And so what happened is the Congress changed it in 71. By 1974, there was none left in our traffic at all. Now, there's a bunch of you out there saying, I know there is. There's one in my neighborhood. I can see it clearly in my head. I promise.
It's in all the books.
That's why it still exists. I have people that say, but I was born past 74 and I see it. Well, when my son, who's 9, when he was 3, the yellow yield sign was on Sesame Street, dancing around with the characters, and they had this whole song. You'll see it on billboards.
Okay, you're making me not feel absolutely crazy. Thank you.
Oh, you know, it's true.
Yes.
They're on billboards and on t-shirts and on book covers. Now, why is this important? There's no system in our brain that walks past a red and white yield sign and says, ooh, I need to update that. And if I give you book right now, this just even happened on Coast to Coast AM. I've had been on that show a couple times. I told George this. That's the person that's the host about it. I said, and in a year, if I come back and I ask you the same question, you won't know the answer, but you'll know it's a trick. And I did. I was just on a show and I asked him and he said yellow and black. And I told him and I was like, that's what you said last time. And so I proved it. So if I gave you a red crayon and a white piece of paper and had you draw the red and white yield sign, you would remember it.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I'd see it now.
Exactly. So all the old programming in our minds that we're not good enough, we're stupid, we're the shy one, we're the dumb one, we're klutzy, we can't make money, money is hard, we never have enough, men hate women, everything that you watch.
Nobody loves me, I don't belong, la la la.
All of it. All of that and the reactions that we saw other people have is in our brain, and that's what we're living from. It's a program. Now, the internal guidance system, like a crayon on a red that you color it in red, it's in your body. Now, I can give you books and books and books, but it won't change who you are. But using this expansion and contraction in your body, which is only in relationship to what you're thinking, every time you feel the tightness, you do a little practice that moves you into a pivot, which I call it a pivot, and you can find the thought that opens you. And when you do that, you start a new neural pathway in your brain. And the one that you that was just closing you begins to go neurally extinct. The way I was able to make such transitions in my life is because I was reprogramming my brain each time I found an opening, which then that old thought that said, I can't do it, it won't work, I'm not big enough, I'm not strong enough, I don't have the money, all of these, any thought that I had, even like I didn't have money for books in college. And I was almost didn't go to the university because I could afford the loan, but I couldn't afford the $1,000 a semester or a quarter for books. And I closed. And I was like, how am I going to, I can get books. And I was like, how am I going to get books? And I thought the library and I opened. So I checked them out last year's ones. I mean, it leads you on really practical, beautiful things, who to date, who not to date, how to fix your marriage, how to understand your spouse better, how to fix the child that is out there running around and they're on drugs or they're with people that you don't really, you know, they're going to take them down the wrong path, even down to my car is making a noise. Am I going to have to pay a lot of money? Hey, you know, yeah. Am I in trouble here? And how to negotiate it? It's like heaven's compass, Lindy.
Well, the old thoughts can just start to slough away when you create the new narrow nets, I'm hearing.
They go away. Mm-hmm. You don't even have them anymore. I mean, I used to think that everybody...
That's the power of the brain.
Yeah, I know. And we were born with a system, mm-hmm. born, everyone has it, that we, as we're going through our life, can reprogram our mind to what's present in the moment and what's possible for us in this moment. And it's tuned into what I call our life's blueprint. I believe that when we come down here, we have a co-contract with God about something that we're going to be working on, all these little life lessons and people we're going to know. And we get down here and it's loud and it's hard. And as a child, we go through so much, which I think is actually perfect and important. But then we get out there and we get lost. And to me, it is like a heaven's compass, and it's the Holy Spirit for me. When I read the Bible, it's how I can see it. I mean, and other people who've been using it, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. And so when you learn to tune into this, you are following the Holy Spirit.
It's trust. It's faith. It's like faith.
Yes. And it's reprogramming your brain away from doubt. Doubt is always closing. And so this is this miraculous thing that I got to discover and decode. I didn't create it. It's been here. Whenever you feel stress or worry or fear, anxiety, overwhelm, irritation,
you brought light to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Frustration. Mm. All that's closing. And all those thoughts are not true. They're old programming. And once you learn to pivot, they go away. And you can do it. You do it all day, every day throughout your life. And each thought that you pivot to is creating your dream life. And so that's, people are like, how on earth did you go from a high school dropout to a CEO in that short amount of time? And it's because my life was always in flow. It creates a state of permanent allowing.
So this is a great question for you. I love all of this, but here's something interesting. I think a lot of times, because I've really worked very hard to live in flow, and I'm very proud of that effort that I have put forward to become, I call it fluid in my book series, I call it fluidity, not rigidity. So I'm no longer rigid. It's like, oh, well that, you know, if you couldn't have made it today, I'd be like, well, that's a disappointment, but hey, you know, I'll get her in the next time or the next show or whatever. But it definitely, can appear flaky and non-committal. And I'd love to just hear you talk about that.
Yeah. So, we are, the flow is actually happening all around us, okay? And it's out in nature. So first, let's just quantify the fact that flow is a state of being that is operating this planet. It is our God consciousness keeping things running. And so what I mean by that is whales migrate into flow, into opening. You know, seeds come up out of the ground in spring. Leaves fall off the tree. You know, everything around us, I even believe the weather, the currents of the weather are moving into the path of no resistance. Mm-hmm. And we have moved away from that because of our minds. Our minds put all these rules on us, okay? And those rules...
They create the structure.
They do. The should, have to, need to,
and
must.
They lock us down, though. Like, it's such a lockdown.
It is.
There's no freedom in it, is what I've found. And that's why I call this let your color out life. It's like, you got to just color it up.
Right. Exactly.
For me.
And so what happens is, yes, it can look like you're flaky and so forth, right? And this is getting a little, you're going to get this, and I hope your listeners will. Because of the law of attraction, right? When you're doing flow and then you meet resistance from somebody else and their judgment causes you to close and you move out of flow. In that judgment, they perceive you as being inauthentic, and then it becomes an inauthentic moment where you seem flaky. When you know that you're open about change, when you're in flow and it's right for you, opening begets opening. And the other, both of you respond in a way where it's right for both of you. I have always been somebody who's running a little bit late. And what I found is it used to drive me crazy, and I would rush and rush and rush. And then I realized I was closed. When you're rushing, you're closed. And there's a thing called divine, there is divine timing.
Absolutely.
Right? And so mm-hmm. I stop, and I would realize I'm closed, and my thought would shift to, it's going to be perfect for everybody. And I would open. If it wasn't perfect for everybody, I would definitely contact, you know, I'd figure it out, right? But I'm talking, I'm purposely late now. And meaning I'm in the opening, and the opening is divine and perfect for everyone. And that's just
and
the rule.
And if people can just meet you there, I think that's the thing that's...
They do. Because they're closed. Their judgment's closing. Their judgment of you is their own stuff. It's their own
but
rules.
But it's very difficult to not take that on, I have found.
Well, that's where the internal guidance system comes in, where you are feeling judged. And if it's closing you, then how you're thinking about it is not true or not going to happen. And it tunes you up as well as them. You can handle their judgment.
Because you can see it differently.
You can see it differently.
And you can thank it for the lesson.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And in doing that, what you're creating is harmony, and harmony helps them get out of their judgment.
Wow. That's beautiful. This is actually, we slipped a tiny bit into a moment of coaching there, because I mean, I think that's, you know, that's up for a lot of us. And I know I call it a unicorn. I'm like, nope, I'm just a unicorn. That means I just absolutely do my dance. And I try to be very respectful of other people's commitments, but it's just, you know, it's like, I'm just got to continue to be the healthiest self that is. And oftentimes it's not, committed
received.
And tied down and it's not met.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It can be a different thing. So I found that to be interesting. So we're going to take another quick break. This is so fun to have this kind of a conversation. I hope you are enjoying this as much as I am. Again, I'm talking with Zen DeBrooke.
DeBrooke. Like in Brooklyn, you're jumping over
yeah,
DeBrooke.
DeBrooke, but I got, what's that center, the middle?
Umlaut.
Okay, because it's Dutch.
It. Okay, you're
it's
good.
Dutch. All right. Well, we'll be right back, and we will carry on. We've got one more nice segment, and then we'll go out and give you all kinds of ways to contact and reach out to Zen directly. Thanks for listening to North Idaho Radio. All right, we are back, and this show is just flying by. It always does when I have such a fun one, and I really love that, you know, I want to, of course, talk about all, tick all the boxes of all the magical things that you've done with this, but I always like to just dive in a little bit and make it very conversational. So thanks for letting me sort of pull you off the rails a tiny bit and, you know, just apply some of it, because I think some of our listeners out there might, you know, either be judgmental or find judgment, or as they start to break free, it is very difficult, or as I call it, let your color out, as they start to color up their own life. It doesn't look the same. And that's what we're interrupting, is that conditioning. And that is what your whole mission has become.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really has. The reason I wrote my book, it's called Your Inner GPS. Sorry. I just wrote The Heaven's Compass. I'm on working on your inner GPS. And we all have a GPS in our body. And this book is a manual. I jokingly call it toilet reading.
Does it actually have exercises in it?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah, I jokingly call it toilet reading because it's like three pages, exercise, and you're on with your life. So it's not going to take you very long at all
to read the
book.
Yep.
Okay. And so it's all exercises and troubleshooting. And it's a manual on how to use your internal guidance system. It's on Amazon and Audible. So you can go and get it there.
But can you give us a sample of one of your exercises? Just anyone that's one of your favorite?
Oh my goodness. Well, procrastination. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. We definitely have procrastinators listening to the show today, I'm sure.
Yes. Okay. Procrastination is not a character flaw. There's nothing wrong with you and you are not lazy. Procrastination is always closing. You'll notice when you're thinking through the list of things that you're not doing, you'll feel a tension in your body. There's four reasons that you procrastinate. Okay. One is it doesn't need to be done at all. You've got something in your head and it's not necessary. It doesn't need to be done. There's no use for it. Two is it's not yours to be done at all. This is the example of one of my students. She wanted to get the garage cleaned out and she was procrastinating. And then she realized when she went through these questions, it was not hers to do. It was her husband's and son's. She would have been cleaning up their stuff. They would have lost everything. She got them to do it. They had a great bonding moment and they got it all done and it was theirs. Three is it's not the right timing. Everything around you, when you start dropping into flow, everything around you is happening perfectly. There are things being lined up for you and being made ready. So it's all there when you need it. And then the fourth reason we procrastinate is we're trying to make things too complex. We have this idea and we think we got to make the whole business plan and talk to 20 people and raise the money. And all we have to do is start
selling.
Where
I was wondering where the should.
That comes
in on the fourth, doesn't it?
Yes.
And yeah, so that's me with it's like, oh, I really should get this done.
That's right. And when that thing, the one of the four clears, you will get up and do it. Like every year I put my taxes off and then all of a sudden one day I get up and I feel like doing it and it'll just get done. Same with your closet, same with the other things. There's only so much time in a day. We've got so many purposes. We have like 100,000 life purposes. Don't freak out there. It's everything from giving the person behind the counter at Starbucks who's having a rough time a hug, giving your dear friend a book, being here on this radio show.
Trash on the beach.
Picking up trash on the beach, taking a nap. Spending time with your kids can open you and that's what you're supposed to be doing. Or
seeing a sunset.
Or doing your business, mm-hmm. or watching a sunset, mm-hmm. taking care of your body.
Hydrating. You know, that's helpful. We're breaking this down, the minutia. Because it doesn't have to sound so overwhelming.
Yeah, and then we have the big purposes, which are the big life lessons. And some of those life purposes, for those of you who are grandparents taking care of your babies, don't worry. That's part of your life's purpose. You're the beautiful thing that gets to create the stability. And sometimes I know for grandparents who are in that position, it can feel like you're useless or you're not having your own life or you didn't agree to this and all of that. But truly, the other thing is we're always on our purpose. We can't actually really get off our purpose. We can have and be more dynamic and more pleasurable and more happy and more satisfying to be in our purpose. But the lessons that we're here to learn, we're going to get to them whether we're in our happiest place in our lives and doing great or whether we're in a miserable place in our lives. The lessons are going
to
come.
They were given to us when we were born. Right. Circling back to procrastination, give us our exercise now. So the four things.
So
we read through the four.
Yes.
And so we're like, oh, I relate to this one and this one.
Yeah.
So now I'm just because I want people out there to have a test of kind of what the book would be like. Should they go online and get it?
So what you'll do is you will read through you'll sit and you'll read through the four questions and one of them will give you an expanded feeling. Those four questions, one of them will give you an expanded feeling and it will let you know why you're procrastinating so you can let it go. And once you've let it go, what happens is because you've stepped into a state of allowing, the perfect time, place, or person that will show up for that to get done, you'll suddenly feel like doing it. There's no resistance in the body to that thing being accomplished. So that's one of them. But you can feel this. There's an exercise in the book that, and also online. I can send you to a resource online. It's called heavenscompass.com. Heavenscompass.com. And in there, I have a 2-hour webinar where I walk you through feeling your internal guidance system. I share with you what it is. And then we do an exercise to teach you how to get a divine purchase order approved. It's what you're here to achieve. You'll feel the expansion when you find the right things in your life that you're supposed to have, do, and be. And when that happens, you get this expanded feeling. I call it a divine purchase order. It's like God saying, purchase order approved, you know? And so we walk you through that exercise and I share with you how to do all of this. And then I,
fantastic.
Yeah. So heavenscompass.com, and there's a webinar you can sign up for.
Well, and we all got that one with the procrastination. So, I mean, if we can, try that one on, I mean, really try it on like it's a jacket. I mean, try on the different feelings with each one as you move into this procrastination. If that's just one of the questions, you're listening to Let Your Color Out Life with Lindy. I wanted to thank you all for joining our show today. Zen has been just an incredible guest. I think one of the most exciting things for me to experience when I'm interviewing someone with so much passion and purpose is that their commitment really to a healthier existence for all of us is what motivates their passion. And you hear it in Zen's voice, and that's always very refreshing for me. And it's, you know, it's the same way when I work with the alpha female and trying to get them to step into this concept of giving themselves grace and humility and jumping, I call it the better than plan, doing a little better than you did yesterday and just like easing into it, almost very small baby steps. So in this hour, we've talked a lot about the adversity. So any of you out there that are struggling, this might even be a great show you could share with your kids. It will be online also on Let Your Color Out. That's our Instagram. And it's really important that you recognize that you can change your life at any point. And I guess with that, Zen, as we go out and we have a few more minutes, if somebody out there wants to start to change their life, what would be your first, you know, your top two things you would give them to start with?
I honestly...
I would love a takeaway for our listeners.
Yeah. So here's another quick exercise. So number one, before I give you it, you're always only a few opening thoughts away from your life completely changing. When you find this opening, and it's not hard, when you find this opening, it leads you to the next opening and the next opening. I have come out of so many really difficult situations quick because of that. And so here's the thing to do. If you feel worry, fear, anxiety, overwhelm, stress, stop in the moment when you're feeling it and say this phrase, I am closed. That means what I'm thinking is not true. Now, your mind will say, it is true, but honestly, that is always closing, and it means what you're thinking is not true. Notice the release in the center of your body.
Okay, we're going to repeat that because this is really great for y'all to go out on. If you're feeling anxious, fearful, depressed even.
Worry.
Stop and ask yourself.
Say this statement, I am closed. That's a pattern interrupt to stop your brain from moving forward. I am closed. That means what I'm thinking is not true or not going to happen. And what happens in that is you're going to feel a release in the center of your body. Do this as many times as you can during a day when you feel that tightness in your body. You will feel the expanded feeling, the lightness, the opening. You just found your first opening. You just started the opening thought that will carry you to the next opening thought. And you just started a new pathway where that stress, worry, or fear, you'll begin to see it as not true and it will begin to go extinct. And new things will open up in your life that you've never dreamed of, that you've never thought of before because you were locked in the old program of worry.
I think that's the most magical thing for us with this show and just with, you know, the work I have done, the work I continue to promote in the world, is that really it can be done, but it's so counterintuitive. You absolutely do it from this place of quiet and interrupting the brain's conditioning and that constant rhetoric that we're used to saying. And Zen, I think it is remarkable that you took this time just in our last moment. The best way to reach out to you is?
Go to heavenscompass.com, sign up for the webinar, okay? And then you can always reach us at support@smartsoul.com, and I will get those emails if you want to reach out to me. support@smartsoul.com. I'm here for the Sandpoint community. I love you guys.
Zen, I can't thank you enough for being my guest today. You really have... you have a lot to offer, and I think the adversity that both you and I've gone through, me with the disease, and honestly, everyone out there has something, and nothing is greater or worse than another. Everybody's got something. It's what you do and how you turn sort of those wounds into wisdom, so to speak, and how you can continue to share them, and then be a more compassionate, loving person, and that is always my mission with the whole concept of letting your color out, is I think there's so much freedom in just being your authentic self and being okay with the way you were made. So you've had been a wonderful wonderful audience. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful day and enjoy your Wednesday. We are our show is complete, Zen. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's been so fun. I want to do it again. We'll have to figure that out.
We'll have plan B. I'd love it. Don't forget to go to the both either Let Your Color Out Life for the repeat of this interview, Let Your Color Out on Instagram, or you could probably go ahead and check it on your website as too. We'll link to your website too, which is Your Life's Compass.
Heavenscompass.com.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you very much for listening.